If you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7. In watching the children, would it not be good, and I know parents feel this way all the time, would it not be good if they just kind of stayed at this age and level of excitement and everything that this church was teaching them would stick with them? The problem is there's a disconnect someplace. And everything that a church is pouring into the kids, the world is trying to remove that. And unfortunately, they've been very, very successful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7, describing the last days, and I think that the one thing that the COVID situation over the last 12 months has really kind of brought about and echoed throughout society is the fact that even lost people know there's something really weird going on. And I think even lost people are aware that the Lord he's so close to coming back. In this passage, it's describing the last days, the perilous times. And there's one verse that I want to kind of zero in on and discuss this morning, and that is verse 7 where it says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." How is it that we're living in the day of information, but the world is unable to grasp the truth? Something is taking place, and it's not just as simple, I think, as people think. I want to share with you this morning how we lost an entire generation. In 2015, there was a comparison that was made between various countries around the world. And this study looked at 15-year-old students, and they wanted to find out, you know, what level are they at as far as one nation compared to another. In science, our nation came in 24th. 24th in the world, and we were beaten out by Vietnam. You go back to the Vietnam War, all the turmoil and tragedy, and they were described as a kind of a backward people, just really efficient, fighting in the jungle and that sort of thing. But when it comes to science, they're kicking us. In reading, our nation captured the 24th position. We were beaten out by Japan. And this is in reading, and it's like we beat them in World War II, and now they're beating us in something like reading. In math, we fell to 39th place in the world. We were beaten out by Czechoslovakia. And so, you know, I know that we've got this idea mentality, we're the greatest nation on earth, but I think that we need to take a dose of reality and look and see how we line up with other countries. Because the truth of the matter is, in those three areas, we did beat Greece. And so I guess maybe that's something to brag about. I don't feel too braggadocious right now. Back in 1955, there was a book written called Why Johnny Can't Read. From what I see of this latest study, it looks like somebody needs to write a book on why Johnny can't add, because we're certainly not doing too good. What in the world is up with our educational system? Ever since COVID hit, our cities have been plagued by riots, protests. They involved Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the tragedy is, if you look at the pictures real close, you'll see that the vast majority of the rioters were college students. Schools across the country, they've been closed by the teachers' unions by and large because they want to stay home and get paid and whatever the reason. And there's some of us, I think, that are a little bit on the naive side. We think that, well, maybe that's just coincidental, a lot of other weird things going on. I, for one, think that there's a little bit more of a sinister side to this thing. But it didn't come about because of Democrats and Republicans. I think that's a huge mistake for people to make. Didn't come about because of billionaires clashing with small business owners. The problem is the fact that we're involved in a spiritual war. Satan has been after our kids for a long time. He's been trying to wipe out generations for centuries, and lately he's been making some great progress. I want to throw out real quickly this morning, five different branches of knowledge. Remember, the world, they're ever learning, but they're never able to see the truth. There's five branches of knowledge that God wants us to master between now and the day that we get into heaven. The first is this: God wants us to possess the knowledge of God as creator. That's an important thing. In fact, it's so important. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The very first thing that we're brought into contact with, knowledge-wise, God wants us to master this, is the fact that He's the one that put all this into existence. God is the creator. And for that reason, He's wanting us to use our brains, and He's wanting us to utilize the Holy Spirit and to kind of lock it down in our hearts and minds that He is the one that brought all of this into reality. What we see, He's responsible for. Now, for you and I, that's simple. That's kind of like the ABCs that we heard. I mean, that's easy peasy, but for some reason, the world, the internet, all the knowledge they have, they can't grasp this. They're ever learning, but they're bypassing the truth completely. Why is it such an important thing on God's vantage point? Why is it such a big deal that the world grasps this knowledge of He's our creator? One word: competition. God is in competition and has been since day one. He's the creator, but He doesn't get credit for it. Why is that? Because of competition. That's why so much throughout the Old Testament, you're reading about idolatry, all these false gods, and Israel got just really wrapped up with these things. And every time they were reaching out to bow down before some false god, they were slapping God in the face as to this truth that He's a creator. Ashtoreth was a Canaanite god in charge of fertility. Baal was a sun god, the god of light. Dagon was a god of water and grain. They were taking credit, and God's people were more than willing to give that credit to these false gods. And God didn't like it. That's why He came down so hard on idolatry. The first truth God wants us to master is God is the creator of this world, and idolatry was giving Him no respect. So where did all these false gods come from? I mean, somebody, and again, it's not coincidental, somebody is trying to undermine this truth that God wants us to possess, and the obvious answer is Satan himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Satan is the god of this world. It's his possession at this time. He's on a leash, I know, but he's still considered the prince or the god of this world. He is the one trying to undermine that first truth. God's the creator. Simple truth. What else does God want us to know? Second thing is this, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the second thing is this: God wants us to possess the knowledge of God's Word, the Bible. All right? First, we recognize Him as creator. Then God says, "Now I want you to focus on the fact that I have some words, then you need to not only hear them, but you need to believe them, possess them, allow them to become a part of you." In Genesis 2, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Here again, God's word putting out rules, commands. Do this, don't do that. God is that voice of authority in our lives. And therefore, He's wanting us to understand. He's put some knowledge out there that's good He wants us to possess. But He told Eve, He said, "You know what? You don't need to know everything. Because there's some knowledge that's evil. Good knowledge, I want you to wrap yourself around that. But there's some knowledge you need to avoid. You need to bypass. You don't need to know what it feels like to be on high on drugs," is what God's telling us. Know that it happens, but you don't need to know by experience. Eve, unfortunately, disobeyed that, made a mess for herself as well as the rest of us. And the one thing that is tied, probably the word that focuses on the Word of God more than anything else, is the word obedience. And God simply says, "All you have to do is what I tell you." That sounds simple enough, sounds straightforward, but that's not what happened. Why is that? It's because of something in this world called humanism. Humanism is setting ourselves up as our own God. We don't need to know what God thinks about our life because we can be in charge of it. Humanism is nothing more than exalting a human, ourselves, up in the place of God. And therefore, whatever God has to say, you know what? Our opinions matter too, the world thinks. In the last 10 years, this world has just kind of just created all types of platforms and encouragement for people to share how they feel, to share how they think. And the world is so wrapped up now, humanism has exploded because now the only thing that matters is what I think. And God says, boy, I'll tell you, you're learning a lot, but so many people are missing the truth. And the truth is, the Scriptures are everything in relation to truth. How exactly does humanism work? Turn, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Let me show you a good verse that the world didn't like, and they chose to do something about it. In Leviticus 18, verse 22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Now, that's a pretty clear, easy-to-understand verse. It denounces homosexuality, but that was a problem for the world. And so in 2012, a brand new version came out called the Queen James Bible. And this Bible focused on the verses that were offensive to the homosexual crowd. And so what they did, they decided to make a few changes. And what they did was, I would call it sleight of hand. I mean, this is so slick. I think that we need to kind of look and see what the world's doing sometimes and be in awe because they are slick. And they're getting so many Christians wrapped around that axle, and God's people start losing the truth as well. The Queen James Bible did something in verse 21. If you look at Leviticus 18, verse 21, it says, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech." Circle the word Molech there if you mark your Bibles up. "Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Molech, we know, was a false god. They required human sacrifices. It was a horrible idea, horrible thought, encouragement of human sacrifices. And what the Queen James Bible did is they took Molech out of verse 21, which in fact the King James Bible mentions. And then they inserted him into verse 22, and this is what the Queen James Bible says. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind in the temple of Molech. It is abomination." And so what they're saying is, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality as long as you don't engage in homosexuality in relation to idol worship. What they're saying is, man and a man, that's not the problem. Idolatry is the problem. So let's get rid of all of the temples of Molech. I don't know. I didn't see any of them on the way to this church. And so I don't know. That kind of a bit of a stretch there. But again, this is what the world does. They're ever learning the wrong things. They're using that devious knowledge to corrupt that which is true. And so God wants us to see Him. Hey, I'm the Creator. Don't give credit to anybody else. Not only that, my word is everything. My word is truth. Be cautious because the world's going to try to contaminate and corrupt that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Here's the third thing that God wants us to appreciate, to know, and to really get nailed down, and that is the fact that God wants us to possess the knowledge of God as Savior. He's the Creator. His word is everything. His word is truth. And He's also the one and only Savior. Following the fall of Adam and Eve and their failure, God brought about the sacrificing of animals. He killed the innocent animals to provide skins for Adam and Eve. That was a picture of salvation. And the Bible tells us, pointing to Christ as our Savior, the fact that He was born of a virgin in Isaiah 7:14. He was to be from the tribe of Judah in Hebrews 7:14. He's a savior of the world in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. God was never shy about letting us know these things because he wants us to get this nailed down good and hard. He's the only Savior. In Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so it seems to be, and again, we need to understand that for you and I here, this is ABC kindergarten level stuff, but not out in the world. Do you realize that the one thing that Satan did to bring about the undermining of this truth of Christ being the Savior, you know what he did? Religion. Religion. Right now, there are over 4,000 different religions in the world. That's hard to believe. That's hard to comprehend. 4,000 different religions. And yet the thing is, he's reaching out and grabbing people, and he's making certain people really rich and famous, and the world is looking at him, and Hollywood has a lot to do with this, which is why a lot of people know Tom Cruise is wrapped up in Scientology. Richard Gere, the actor, is into Buddhism. Shirley MacLaine, she's into the New Age reincarnation. Joe Biden, Catholicism. Mitt Romney, Mormonism. Jimmy Carter, Southern Baptist. And so what Satan has done is he has created this thing with the intent of replacing Christ as our Savior with these other religions. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if you want to turn there. The fourth thing this morning God wants us to possess is a knowledge of creation. He's the creator, but God wants us to understand about his creation. Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, I'll tell you what, if you mark your Bibles up, get your pen ready, one huge word we're about to touch upon, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, circle the next word, dominion. It's mentioned again down in verse 28. Dominion. What is that talking about? God is saying, you know what? I created all this, but I want you to conquer it. The word dominion means to master. It means to conquer. It means to rule over. The reason that we teach a variety of subjects in our schools is to give people the knowledge of how to conquer God's creation. We are to recognize it as being created by Him, but that's not supposed to be enough. We are supposed to push ourselves to gain knowledge so that we can have dominion over God's world. And so, we conquer language. Did God not create the languages? If He created it, He said, you know what? I want you to have dominion over what I've done. I want you to conquer languages. And so it's good for schools to teach German or French or Spanish or English. And the reason is because God created language and then He passes it to people and says, now you conquer it. In my name, have dominion over what I've done. We are to conquer the knowledge of the planets. And so we study mathematics and astronomy. We're supposed to conquer the animal world, and so we study biology. We're supposed to conquer the human body, and so we study physiology and human anatomy and medicine. God wants these things to be conquered. There's a knowledge of His creation He wants us to possess. We are to conquer the knowledge of God's creation, so we study the sciences, the real ones. Truthful observances. We're supposed to conquer the soil. And so we study agriculture. We study weather. We're supposed to conquer the mountains and the rivers, and so we study engineering and physics. Those are not bad topics. We're supposed to be students of God's creation because He told us, I want you to be in charge. I want you to have dominion over my over my creation. That means that we got to have educational institutions. We have to have places and people that will teach this knowledge so that we can have dominion as we've been told to do. And yet, when looking at these institutions, this is where Satan has hijacked a generation. This is the problem. Satan was very, very successful in undermining these institutions of learning through what is called evolution. I know we're all familiar with it. But something happened with this thing about evolution because, you know, when it was first presented, it was the theory of evolution, but somewhere along the line, somebody erased theory and now we're supposed to accept it as being a fact, and it's not. And so evolution has done great harm to our educational institutions. If Charles Darwin dreamed up a theory that was called evolution, how in the world did it ever come to be accepted as fact? Remember what the Queen James Bible people did? Sleight of hand? Or inserted something, and it wasn't really true? This, you have to give the world credit. They are smart to the side of evil. The same time that Charles Darwin was coming up with the theory of evolution, a brand new science was created. Science. This brand new science was called anthropology. Before Darwin, there wasn't any anthropology. It's being passed off as a science. It's not. In order to prove Darwin's theory of evolution, they turned to science, and there wasn't anything to prove it, so they created a branch of science called anthropology, and they're the ones that gave us man coming from a monkey. They're the ones that gave us Neanderthal man and Cro-Magnon and a bunch of other fancy forms. But the funny thing is, science is supposed to be observable truth, not conjecture, not the billions and billions of years. Observable truth. A scientist in a laboratory, he puts in a chemical, he watches what takes place, that's observable. He can come to conclusions from that. Anthropology doesn't have any factual information. It never has found a missing link yet. It's coming up with drawings of what people looked like a million years ago. It's coming up with a lot of fanciful information, but there's nothing that's observable. It's all conjecture. So what did evolution do to our educational system that has us barely beating out Greece? What did evolution do? It allowed educators to take over our academic institutions and use them to substitute facts with philosophies. Anthropology is not science. It's a philosophy. It's a mental framework. It's opinions laid in concrete to make people feel better, but they're opinions. Schools were no longer used to help mankind study God's world. Instead, what came about was a separation of God from this other knowledge. It's called secularization. To secularize something, it's to remove God from it. When our New England colonies were just getting started, our ancestors had been educated with God in view. You know what good the Protestant Reformation did when these Catholics came out of the Catholic Church and they started Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians? You know what the benefit of that was? They had a desire to read the Word of God because that's why they came out of the Catholic Church. They were reading the Scriptures. They saw, whoa, this does not line up with what I'm hearing from the Pope over here. Because they were getting their new facts from the Bible instead, they put a heavy emphasis on reading. They wanted to read the Bible. Protestant Reformation pushed big time this matter of reading. When Isaac Newton was studying the effects of gravity, all he was doing was studying what God had already created. Yeah, he was a genius and God gave him insight, but the insight that he had was nothing more than seeing what God did. Noah Webster, he's the guy that wrote the dictionary, but before he ever wrote the dictionary, he wrote a curriculum to teach children in the United States. It was called the Blueback Speller. And something very interesting happened with that curriculum. He deliberately left God out. For the first time, there's a curriculum being circulated, but God's not in it. The reason is, Webster was raised in a very strict Christian home. And as a young individual, he rebelled against the rules. He got tired of mom and dad telling him what to do. When he became an adult, he began to use his intellect, and he wanted to train kids how to read, write, arithmetic. But he didn't want to cram God down their throats, and so he came up with a curriculum God was not in. Years later, something happened. He got saved. That'll change things. And that's when he went back to his speller book, the curriculum, he started inserting God into it as much as he could. The problem was, by that point in time, the McGuffey Reader, a curriculum written by a preacher, was taking over. And Webster lost out as far as that curriculum was concerned. But here's the problem, the damage that was accomplished when he was a lost man. He brought about education in America that was secular in nature. That material was being taught to children. And they were getting this information, but it was separated and dissected from God. And what happened in the elementary and the high schools, thanks to that secular religion or secular curriculum, it also started happening in our colleges. Harvard was started to train ministers. But then they added a secular curriculum for lawyers and businessmen. Yale was begun by the Puritans. William and Mary was an Anglican college. Brown University started out by the Baptists. Princeton was started by the Presbyterians. But little by little, in our colleges and universities, that rift was growing. God over here, knowledge over here. So what happened to the colleges and universities in our country? Same thing that happened really in our elementary and our high schools. The separation continued to grow and grow. Because of the secular nature that was taking place in our schools in this country, we came to the place in the 60s and 1960s and 70s where there were two major shifts came about. Because kids in this country were being raised with God over here and knowledge over here. The first thing was when Madeline Murray O'Hare launched a lawsuit. Her son was being forced to attend Bible studies and they were having prayer in the public schools. And so she brought forth a lawsuit and won. And that's when that rift was even bigger in our public schools. The irony of that is the fact that her son later grew up and got saved himself, even though his mom was an atheist. And the second huge major societal shift was when abortion was legalized in 1973. Well, how did that come about? An education where God was removed. And that secular information, it gave them some beneficial, helpful knowledge. But then liberal professors and teachers and colleges that were pushing a socialist agenda kind of threw in a lot of other stuff, and it hurt a lot of people. Back in 1865, William Ross Wallace wrote a poem exalting motherhood. There was one statement that came out of that poem that describes exactly what Satan has been up to in the educational system. And one statement is this: the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You get them when they're a child, and you can keep them, unfortunately, tragically, probably for the rest of their lives. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, if you would, the last thing that God wants us to know, to master, is the fact that He wants us to possess the knowledge of a war with Satan. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, that's the war right there in verse 15, the warfare to take place between mankind and Satan, the enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan has an army of demonic soldiers. He has invaded almost every significant area in this world, just like he invaded the educational system. He's gotten into government. He's gotten into the church. He's gotten into so many vital places. In 1 John 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The reason we're not supposed to love the world is because it's been invaded. He's captured so many strongholds, and now parents are paying thousands of dollars. They're mortgaging their homes. They're sending their kids off to college so that they can have a better life. And what they don't realize is Satan already beat them to that place, more than likely. And so, yeah, there's some great scientific knowledge to be had. There's great things in engineering, but along with that stuff, they're also going to get a lot of socialism and a lot of unscriptural things. There's basically three ways of looking at where you and I fit into this thing called spiritual warfare. And this is pretty much it. One, you can act like the ostrich, stick your head in the sand, pretend that it's not real. No, the devil's not really up to all this stuff. The second thing is you can realize that Satan is real. He's taken a lot of this stuff, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to become collateral damage, and so we run away from the problem, don't want to face it or deal with it. And the third thing is we take our rightful place as a Christian warrior, and we take our stand, and we line up with God, rely on the Scriptures, and take a stand until the Lord comes back. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're asking for your blessings and your help this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to realize Satan is so real and active, and yet so many people barely give him a second's thought. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful and cautious to guard these five areas of knowledge. They are so vital. They're important. They will shape our eternities. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to humble ourselves to the Scriptures. Help us to reach out to grab hold of the Scriptures and allow them to become a part of us. Bless the folks here this morning now in Jesus' name.